Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is terrific Tuesday, July 31st, 2012. My name is Paul Hutchings, dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho, and it is a beautiful day today. Want to welcome you. This is the Think and Grow Rich call, my friends. This is a call that I dial into every morning, Monday through Friday, and entrepreneurs scattered all over the world dial into so that we can think and grow rich together, so that we can formulate a better mindset, so that we can formulate a better philosophy. Because as we're taught in the book, The Science of Getting Rich, there are two steps to generating wealth in your life. Step number one is learn to think like wealthy people think. And step number two is learn to do what wealthy people do. And this call gives us a little bit of both of that, but mainly we focus on learning how to think like wealthy people think. And I want to give you, before we jump into the content of the call today, I want to give you a few tips for getting the most out of this call. You know, Jim Rohn, one of my favorite mentors, I love listening to that man. He just is, he spent his life, you know, being a student and being a practitioner, and he just filled himself full of wisdom. And I love listening to Jim Rohn. And one of the things that he said is he said, you know, most people are focused on getting through the day. What I want to challenge you to do is not just get through the day, but I want to challenge you to get from the day. Get from the day. Get from the call. Get from the life experience. Get from the book, where we actually reach into our daily life and we pull out lessons that we can take and add to our character, and we can add to, you know, our being, so that we can, you know, have more value and move forward in a better way. And so what are some tips so that we can get more from the day? Well, one tip is that, you know, when you get on this call, a great thing to do before the call would be to go through the content, maybe, you know, before you come to the call, whether it's, you know, in the morning before you get on the call, or maybe the night before. Go through the chapter that we're going to go through on the call today so that you can be thinking about some of these things. That's one tip. Another one is, as we learn in the book Think and Grow Rich, we need to have, each of us need to have, I like to call it a personal manifesto. It's almost like a constitution for your life. And every personal manifesto, every constitution should have the major definite purpose statement from the book Think and Grow Rich and the self-confidence formula as a foundation. And we should repeat that morning and night, morning and night. Now, the other thing that can happen with that personal manifesto is, as we are going through our daily lives and as we are attempting to get from the day, not just get through the day, but get from the day, we want to be paying attention to things we learn that have a direct bearing on our belief system. So in other words, when we get on this call or when we read something that we recognize we want to change in ourselves, one of the most powerful things we can do is formulate that change into a statement and add it to our personal manifesto. And when we're reading that on a daily basis, the power of repetition is going to influence our subconscious minds so that we start to make the changes that we need to make. And I see so many people, members of my family, people that I care about, who run around jumping from this book to that book to this program to that program, trying to make all these changes and never really make any changes. And one of the main reasons is they don't understand how the mind works. And one of the things we need to understand in learning about the brain and how we work as human beings is that when we repeat something again and again and again and again to ourselves, it becomes ingrained in us, and we will start to automatically make that change in our lives. Repetition, repetition, repetition. So if we want to make a change, if we learn something on a call like this, if we learn something in a book, if we learn a life lesson through a seemingly ordinary experience, we want to pull that out and we want to put it in our personal manifesto when we want to read that on a daily basis so that we can start to have those changes come into our lives. And the last tip that I'll share for getting more from the day that I'm just starting to be a better practitioner at, Haven't done so great at this throughout my life. Done it a little bit, but I'm getting better at it. Is keep a journal. Keep a journal on it. You know, on a daily basis. Be, you know, pull out those lessons that we get from the day, and write those down in a journal. That will also help us become better practitioners of the information that we are gaining. And that's my wish and my hope, that all of us on this call, that we will not just be, you know, as the Bible says, hearers of the word, but that we will be doers also. Todd Young, you know, gave us the word practitioner. We want to be a practitioner. The problem of the day, the main problem that I see, is so many people are consumers of information, but they're not appliers of information. And we on this call, we're practitioners, we're appliers. And so these tips that have been shared with me that I did not invent, that I'm sharing with you, are things that I'm doing that are really helping me to become a better practitioner. And after all, if we don't apply, friends, you know, it's really, you know, somewhat of a waste. So that's my hope for you. Let's be appliers. Let's be doers. And with that, let's jump into the content. We're going through the book, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. Today, we're delving into chapter 3, which is entitled, Is Opportunity Monopolized? Okay, so open your ears, open your hearts. We'll get through this. It's only a page. There's some heavy stuff here. We'll get through this quickly, and then we'll have our mastermind discussion and really try to digest together the message that Wallace Wattles is giving us here in this particular chapter. So chapter 3 is Opportunity Monopolized. No one is kept poor because other people have monopolized the wealth and have put a fence around it. You may be shut off from engaging in business in certain lines, but there are other channels open to you. At different periods, the tide of opportunity sets in different directions, according to the needs of the whole and the particular stage of social evolution which has been reached. There is abundance of opportunity for the person who will go with the tide instead of trying to swim against it. So workers, either as individuals or as a class, are not deprived of opportunity. The workers are not being kept down by their masters. They are not being ground by the trusts and big business. As a class, they are where they are because they do not do things in a certain way. The working class may become the master class whenever they will begin to do things in a certain way. The law of wealth is the same for them as it is for all others. This they must learn, and they will remain where they are as long as they continue to do as they do. The individual worker, however, is not held down by an entire class's ignorance of these laws. He can follow the tide of opportunity to riches, and this book will tell him how. No one is kept in poverty by a shortness in the supply of riches. There is more than enough for all. A palace as large as the Capitol at Washington might be built for every family on earth from the building material in the United States alone. And under intensive cultivation, this country would produce wool, cotton, linen, and silk enough to clothe each person in the world finer than Solomon was arrayed in all his glory, together with food enough to feed them all luxuriously. The visible supply is practically inexhaustible, and the invisible supply really is inexhaustible. Everything you see on earth is made from one original substance, out of which all things proceed. New forms are constantly being made, and older ones are dissolving, but all are shapes assumed by one thing. There is no limit to the supply of formless stuff or original substance. The universe is made out of it, but it was not all used in making the universe. The spaces in, through, and between the forms of the visible universe are permeated and filled with the original substance, with the formless stuff, with the raw material of all things. 10,000 times as much as has been made might still be made, and even then we should not have exhausted the supply of universal raw material. No one, therefore, is poor because nature is poor, or because there is not enough to go around. Nature is an inexhaustible storehouse of riches. The supply will never run short. Original substance is alive with creative energy and is constantly producing more forms. When the supply of building material is exhausted, more will be produced. When the soil is exhausted so that foodstuffs and materials for clothing will no longer grow upon it, it will be renewed or more soil will be made. When all the gold and silver has been dug from the earth, if humanity is still in such a stage of social development that it needs gold and silver, more will be produced from the formless. The formless stuff responds to the needs of mankind. It will not let the world be without any good thing. This is true of man collectively. The race as a whole is always abundantly rich, and if individuals are poor, it is because they do not follow the certain way of doing things which makes the individual rich. The formless stuff is intelligent. It is stuff which thinks. It is alive and is always impelled toward more life. It is the natural and inherent impulse of life to seek to live more. It is the nature of intelligence to enlarge itself, and of consciousness to seek to extend its boundaries and find fuller expression. The universe of forms has been made by formless living substance throwing itself into form in order to express itself more fully. The universe is a great living presence, always moving inherently toward more life and fuller functioning. Nature is formed for the advancement of life, and its impelling motive is the increase of life. Because of this, everything which can possibly minister to life is bountifully provided. There can be no lack unless God is to contradict himself and nullify his own works. You are not kept poor by lack in the supply of riches. It is a fact which I shall demonstrate a little farther on that even the resources of the formless supply are at the command of the man or woman who will act and think in a certain way. And my friends, this chapter really helps us to start to understand abundance versus scarcity. And, you know, those are two different mindsets that you may have heard of and may have experienced throughout your life. A scarcity mentality versus abundant mentality. Do you believe that resources, money included, are scarce and that there's a limited supply of money? Or do you believe that money is everywhere and that resources are everywhere and that money is constantly changing hands on a daily basis all throughout the world and that all we need to do is learn to think and act in a certain way to put ourselves in the flow of that ever-abundant supply of money that's floating around out there all throughout the world? We need to understand what are our beliefs on this topic. If we have a scarcity mentality, if we believe that money is scarce, if we believe that the wealth is monopolized, if we believe that we are being kept down by forces outside of our control, my friends, that will manifest in our lives. Versus if we have the abundant mentality, and we start to live and believe that and put ourselves in the way of abundance, that will manifest in our lives as well. So some deep stuff really, you know, directly applying to our belief systems as it relates to how money and how wealth and how resources work. I'm very excited to hear your thoughts on this topic. So let me open up the lines and we will jump right into the mastermind discussion. One moment here. Star 6 to unmute your line.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Melvin.
Good morning to you, young man. It's interesting what you were saying there. I had never thought about it before, about getting through the day. And now that you've mentioned it, I understand how many people actually feel that way. And how can I, now that I'm thinking about it, how can I want to get through life? How can I want to get life by me? You know, how can I not want to live? It's basically, it kind of, what's that saying? To get through the day, rather than rather than understanding, it's kind of like you're saying about thinking. Thinking a certain way is so important. And thinking a certain way would be to live each and every single moment, making each and every moment count, learning how to live in the now. There's just certain things that if we start adopting those and making that a part of our thinking, our whole life is going to change for the better. So it all comes down to that. It all comes down to this, the thinking process. And so getting on this call every morning and locking into this kind of material and reading these kinds of books and getting the thinking in that certain way will make all the difference in the world, because the thinking has to be first in order for the action to be second, and then the results will be third. And if you're not getting the results that you want, then the thinking has to be off, because it's thought, action, results. And if we each deal with that, if we each realize that if it's not happening for me, then it's because I'm not doing what I need to do, and I'm not doing what I need to do because my thoughts are off. With that, back to you, Paul.
Melvin, I really appreciate what you've shared. Yeah, you just shed some new light on that thought that I didn't think of, you know, and that is getting through the day as fast as you can and not getting from it is like saying to yourself, I just want to hurry up and get through life and get it over with. And when we think about it, none of us wants to do that. We want to enjoy life, right? Wow, that's an incredible insight, Melvin, and just love what you shared. Thank you for that. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul. How are you doing today?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. This is James. I probably sound a little bit clogged up. I'm dealing with a little sore throat right now.
Oh, man. Hope you get feeling better quickly, my friend.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I just wanted to really quickly say, what we have to think about is that what is your wealth and your health worth? So, you know, when we start on a journey, let's just take gardening, for instance. We have to allow the system of gardening to work for ourselves, and it has to work itself out. So, you know, it has a course of nature that, you know, the actual act of gardening has. You have to, you know, you have to plant, you have to cultivate, you have to, you know, wait on your harvest to, you know, to show itself to you. You know that you planted that seed. You know that you know, you've done the preparations. You know that you've done all the steps that gardening takes. So, you know, when we start out on a new journey, we have to remember that there are steps to it. There is a system to it. There is a process. So, you know, when we do these things, we remember and not, you know, get frustrated and not think that it doesn't work or, you know, what am I doing? There's a system to, you know, the things that we set out for. So we have to, you know, understand that. And, you know, then when we follow through, we know that, you know, your faith will tell you, okay, you know, I know that I've done these things. I know that I've prayed for these things or, you know, whatever the case may be. But if you have that faith, you'll know that it's going to come to pass. It's going to show itself to you because you've done the work. You've done those steps. And, you know, the thing that we, you know, do is, we want microwave results. We want everything, you know, right away. We want to see it now. But like I said, you have to go through the system. You have to go through the steps. You have to go through the harvest phase. And that harvest is coming. And with that, I just wanted to say back to you, Paul.
Great thoughts, James. Appreciate those. Thank you, my friend. Star 6, who's next?
This is Frank from Delaware.
Hey, Frank, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. You know, it's very good to hear that in the reading that we heard that, excuse me, I'm fumbling for my words a little bit. It's very good to hear that in the formless waste out there in the universe, the riches and the things that we want out of these books and out of our thinking is really part of our life. We've heard the phrase, don't let anybody steal your dreams. Well, if you let somebody steal your dreams, they're really stealing your life, the life that you're trying to come into being, the life that you want to come into being for you. So we have to watch out. There's a whole segment of people out there that want to steal your life, and we can't allow that to happen, and we can't let them do that. Back to you, Paul.
Very true, my friend. I appreciate those comments, Frank. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, my friends. Paul, Mr. Hutchins, how are you?
I'm excellent, Rick. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. It's a fantastic morning here in California. My friend, I'm just smiling inside, and I'm so happy about this subject you're talking about here. It's the ideas, the thoughts that it provokes. It's incredible. We have the saying about the glass full and the glass is empty type of mentality, one or the other. And it's interesting for me when we talk about the subconscious and the things that are taking place behind you, back of you, you don't even know what's taking place. And I'm going to challenge that saying and understand why it just passes through one ear and goes to the other and really has no real meaning to anyone. I'm getting into a business and somebody might say, man, this business, a lot of competition. It's about 75% saturated. A person like a practitioner of Think and Grow Rich or The Magic of Thinking Big by Dr. David Schwartz will say 25% of that industry is wide open for the taking. Do what you want with it, what you will, the ideas. You know, it's interesting because when you think, you ever feel half full, Paul, have you? Yourself, have you ever felt half full?
Half full?
Yes, have you? In your life, have you ever felt half full, eating, whatever? Have you felt half full before?
Probably at some point, yeah.
What does full mean to you?
What does full mean to me? Yeah, are you talking about in terms of eating food or spiritually full?
If you're full of something, you feel. What first comes to mind when you're full? It's full. They come to you like, well, I can't take anymore. I have enough. There's no more to be improved on. Then you feel halfway in that area. What I'm saying mentally, what first comes to your mind? You know how the reticular activating system works. So what I'm saying to you, when this is probably a speculation based on empirical data. Somebody says something is full, the pot is full. Can you take any more? Can the pot be really half full? Can it? The word full is playing a new game in your head. They don't buy it. People don't buy that saying. That's why it has no effect on people, because the word full have a completely different meaning to the subconscious mind. I'm full of you. That means I don't want any more of you. Whatever comes to mind, full. Every time somebody says, oh, the glass is half full or half empty, it means nothing to the uninitiated. But something else is happening. I ran into a Dr. Rutledge. He talks about all these people who really don't want to feel heavy in certain ways or don't want to be obese or overweight. They don't understand why. Somebody is full, but they feel empty. There's a thing called peptide YY336, and it lives at the lower part of your intestine, and it's like an indicator. When you eat and you're supposed to be full, you want to get the feeling of satiated. It's like a little switch goes up to the top and indicates that you are satiated. Now, for most of those people who don't, who keep on eating after they are supposed to be full, that like the peptide YY, that switch is not working properly. So if something's there's something you don't want there. You don't want, I'm doing something, but it's not working for me. I'm going there, running around, doing something, it's not working for me. There's sometimes there are things underlying inside you where you have no idea why this is not working for me. You talk about doing things in a certain way. You talk about repetition, doing things in a certain way. You have people that go to the gym. They would go there and they would follow these repetitions. They would go there and they're doing just like you and me, 10 sets and then we go for 10 reps and then we go for 2 extra when we get that burn. And they see no results. All right? Now, we know that your genetics can have a massive play on it. We know this. Your body type inside. Your sleep, all these little things to get a certain result, and you don't know why, and you get frustrated. Business and business, you're going to have exactly the same effect. I'm doing everything. Will this work for me if I work it? A lot of people may say, this business doesn't work. Yeah, why doesn't it work for me? Simply because they expect the business to work for them, not them work the business. It's an incredible thought. And a lot of little things are happening in the background, and you don't know it's killing you. And there's a little darkness right there. A little bit of darkness about the subconscious mind that is 10,000 times more powerful than the front, in the forefront, the things that you say. There are certain things that are happening. Your mind is on leash to the rest of the world. You cannot escape it. You cannot escape that. None of us here can escape that. If you intend to live a full life, your mind will still be on leash. Stuff's coming in that you don't realize. You say stuff that you don't even know all day long, where it came from. You start to create, you start to cultivate, and you have no idea when it came from. But I tell you, Dr. John Maxwell, he talks about three things. He talks about what people talk about, experience is the best teacher. And he said, you must be smoking something. He said, we've known people in their 50s, in their 60s, and they're not getting any better. It's interesting, somebody made this post. I said, yes, that's very interesting. You're right. I said also, when you look at it, reflection. Reflection on your past can turn experience into insight. Paul, you just talked about that this morning. Get from the day, looking to learn. Ben Franklin looked to learn every day from his trifles. Most people don't know about this. He was a trifling fool, fighting all the time. One day he decided this is not working for anybody. He started to tally up what he did wrong. Stupid things I've done today. And eliminated those one by one. And Abraham Lincoln was also a trifle. We know this. Same thing happened. He made a 180 because of incidents that happened to him where he almost lost his life. He wasn't this guy. Come out, looks like this perfect character. No, he wasn't. And that's why people gravitate to him because they know you were full of flaws and all that. Look what happened. Because he can create, I believe, a possibility for you and me. You see, my friend, my name again is Rick Martin. I love people. I never met a stranger. I'm a deep thinker. Right back to you, Paul.
Appreciate those thoughts, Rick. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
This is Usha again.
Hi, Usha.
Hey, it's an interesting discussion today. I just wanted to share a Sanskrit shloka from one of the Upanishads, if I may. It's talking about fullness, because the last caller, when he talked about what does full mean to you, this shloka came to my mind. It says, Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. That is to say that from fullness comes, the world is full of fullness. There's no dearth, no lack for anything. You take out anything from it, it is still full. So, I mean, it has a lot more meaning to it, which I cannot go into right now, but this is the shloka that came to my mind. And the previous caller also talked about a lack. If you think there is a lack, then there is a lack. But if you think there is no lack, the, you know, whatever you want from that source of infinity, you know, infinite source out there, then you can have whatever you want. There's never a lack. Thank you. Maybe you would like to check it out. I don't know. If I could send you, I could do a little bit more research and talk about it later.
Sure, yeah, feel free to post some more on that in our Facebook group, wearethinkandgrowrich.com. That was beautiful and great thoughts. I really appreciate those, Usha. Thank you for sharing.
Okay, what was that again? We are thinking?
We are thinkandgrowrich.com. We are thinkandgrowrich.com. And you said something very profound there. If you think there is lack, then there is lack. Absolutely. Star 6, who's next?
Well, this is Virginia in Cape Coral.
Hi, Virginia. Good morning.
Good morning. The gentleman who was talking about a garden and used that example really struck a note with me because I'm a rose gardener, and I really love my roses. And I love planting. When I get a new bush, I like to plant it, and the excitement of planting it is really wonderful. And it holds so much promise, you know, when you plant. And then when you harvest, you know, you can see the buds coming up and the flowers opening up, and your results are really evident there. But for me, the most difficult part is in between the planting and the harvesting. And that's the weeding, the pruning, the feeding, the mulching, all of that. And that's the way it is with our businesses, because the most difficult part is in the middle there, where we need to have the most patience and the most perseverance and the most faith to believe that we will have a harvest and to keep on doing the weeding and the pruning in ourselves, you know, in the things that we do and the methods that we use, and to constantly improve what we do so that, you know, that we get the best results that we can possibly get. So I like that analogy of a garden very much. Thank you, Paul.
Virginia, I really appreciate those thoughts. Very wise words. I love that analogy as well. And, you know, in that analogy, we see that there are laws at work. And I love how in nature we see laws that do directly apply to us. And you just illustrated that very well. So, Virginia, thank you for those comments. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, Todd Young.
Good morning, Todd Young.
Good morning, Paul, and good morning to everybody. Great what you read this morning, and very profound, I will say. You know, our belief system is a system that really governs what we do every day in our life. And to me, you know, abundance is wealthy versus scarcity is a poor mentality. And something that I've adopted in throughout my life is MMA. It's a money-making attitude. And how do you get that money-making attitude? And let's face it, it's, you know, it's why we're on this call, is to have a belief system that helps us to be better, to go out and go forward, and to have riches in our life. And that's financial riches. And, of course, we all know that financial riches lead to other kind of riches in our life. And how do we do that? We do that by reading books like Success and The Human Experience, listening to audios every day. Folks, there are absolutely two different worlds out there, and I'm here to tell you that I've lived both of them, and I will certainly tell you which one I love better. I've lived a life where I didn't have money, and I've lived a life where I did have money. And if anybody on this phone call has lived both of those lives, I'm quite sure that you've lived one of those lives, But if you haven't lived the other one, which is the life of having money, which gives you freedom, time freedom, and choices to do what it is that you want to do in your life, I can assure you that you'll never want to go back to that other life. I've been working out of my house for 22 years. I absolutely love it. And there's no other type of lifestyle that I would ever live. I haven't had a job in 22 years. I love what I do for a living. I feel like I do not work a day in my life. I absolutely love doing what I do. And I spend my day being a practitioner of business and a practitioner of life and a practitioner of people and the human experience. And I love to read. I love to watch, videos of success. There's something that I think everybody should absolutely go and see. Is there's a brand new segment on the Science Channel called Into the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman, and it just came on, and it's all about thoughts. And these scientists and these physicists all over the world now are actually using supercomputers to now harness the really how our brain works. And what they found is that our subconscious mind, they now truly know that our subconscious mind works in ways that you just don't know. And it does work in a very scientific way. It's really, really amazing. And your brain has this thing called a default mode that you go into when you meditate and when you sleep, and right before you go to sleep and right when you wake up. And that default mode, which is your subconscious mind, actually talks to you and tells you things you don't know. And when you're thinking, your mind goes out of that default mode and prohibits your subconscious mind from actually educating you and telling you things that you don't know. That's why it's important to meditate. It's why it's important to just sit in a chair. Whatever you do to meditate, it's one of those important things you must do on a daily basis because it helps you communicate with the infinite intelligence. It has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with the infinite intelligence. You were created, and you know now are a creator. And having a belief system of abundance versus a belief system of scarcity is going to lead you to a life of freedom and time freedom and success. Your belief system is a set of precepts from which you live your daily life, which govern your thoughts, your words, your actions. And without these precepts, you could not function to take this beautiful journey of what you're doing in life. And to give it some kind of meaning, if any part of your belief system is a lie and you are not acting from a place of truth, it's something that Paul and I talk about all the time. Paul and I share something very, very dear to each other. We're very dear friends. We've known each other for 5 months, but we feel like we've known each other for an eternity because we have our belief systems are so parallel, it's almost scary. And we come from a place of truth. We come from a place of abundance. And again, if any part of what you believe is a lie, then you are acting, or you're not acting from a place of truth in your heart and in your mind. And what is it that you believe, and why do you believe it? You have to ask yourself these questions. And this doesn't have anything to do with religion. Do you believe in a supreme being? Or do you just believe in existing? Do you don't believe in that at all? You were created, period, end of story. And you know, you can certainly say that your parents created. Yeah, that's right. Okay, but if you go back to the beginning of time, okay, we all were created. The universe was created. Well, you know, something created this universe. What is your belief system? If you think that you're acting from a place of truth and abundance, then great things will happen to your life. And scientifically speaking, success will absolutely come into your life. And the opposite, which is scarcity, just cannot happen to you. Have you given any thought to your belief system and the kind of belief system that you have? Do you make conscious decisions to believe what you do or do not do on a daily basis? Have you adopted your parents' or your spouse's belief system because it was what you grew up with or just what you wanted to do? Do you constantly ask other people's opinions? Please, if you want to know an opinion, look in the mirror and ask yourself. I've been doing that for a very long time in my life. Paul will probably tell you I don't ask his opinion, and Paul doesn't ask me mine either. But we do mastermind together, which is a huge difference. When you make decisions, do you make informed decisions, or you just decide arbitrarily based on a whim? Do you make informed decisions on the information that you have that maybe came from somebody that was successful or somebody not successful. What was the source of your information? Folks, question everything that you do. It's your belief system that you have, and coming from a place of truth in your life is going to lead you to wealth. And that's why we're on these phone calls. Don't fool yourself that you think we're on this phone call just to live a happy life. Because I'm here to tell you that, you know, yeah, people say, oh, yeah, you don't have to have wealth to live a happy life. Hey, listen, you know what? You need to read these books over again that we're being practitioners of on this call. And this mastermind call is here for a reason. It's to really shape and mold your belief system. Because it's your belief system which is going to dictate that whether you come from a and have a life of abundance or a life of scarcity. And like I said before, I think everybody has had a chance to experience scarcity and living poor, not having money. I'm here to tell you that stinks. And I've been there. And I live right now a life of abundance. I'm extremely grateful for everything that I have in my life. I'm grateful for being on this call. I'm grateful for you folks are my family. I love every single one of you. I can't wait to wake up in the morning and to be on this call, to be a part of this family here, and to be a part of this mastermind group. And it brings great joy to me to hear every single one of you speak up and to be a leader and to hear your life change with the stories that you tell. And a belief system is the most important, really the most important thing that you can adopt and to help shape in your life to be a better person for yourself first, to be a better person to your spouse, your children, your family, and to the people around you. And that's why you need to attend this call, and you need to tell your friends about this call. You need to tell your family about this phone call. You don't need to be in network marketing. You don't need to be in business to be on this phone call, because what Paul Hutchings has started in this phone call years ago was to help make you a better life. And that's why you're here. I care about every single one of you on this phone call. I love everybody on this phone call. Paul, you know I love you too, brother. And the floor is back to you.
I love you too, Todd. And you just shared some very powerful thoughts. And so true. That's really what we're doing here on this call. Belief system. Another word for belief system is mindset. Another word for belief system and mindset is philosophy. And the philosophy is, as Jim Rohn, you know, shares, will determine whether you go for the disciplines or continue the errors in judgment. It'll determine everything. And as Todd says, question everything, ask your own opinion. You know, what do you think about the things that are being shared on the call? Do you believe it? Do you not believe it? Does it deserve more investigation? Is it a belief that you want to adopt in your life? Is it a belief that's limiting you and putting constraints upon you? I thought of an analogy a while back, where I imagine I was actually meditating one day, and I imagined myself laying on the ground, being strapped down by these rubber bands that were like holding my arms and my legs and my body down to the ground. And there were these balloons that were tied to me that were these hot air balloons that were trying to lift me up and allow me to, you know, fly up into the air. But I couldn't because these rubber bands were holding me down. And as I started to take a pair of scissors and cut these rubber bands that were holding me down, I started to lift up first my arm, my right arm, then my left arm, and then I started to fly up into the air. And that's an analogy to illustrate how our beliefs, if they are false, as Todd mentioned, if they are out of alignment with the truth, they literally keep us strapped to the ground and prevent us from soaring and living the life that we may have been meant to live. So that's why it's so important to think and to question and determine, is this true? Is this not true? Is this empowering? Is this disempowering? And to really take seriously, what is my belief system? And make it a work in progress. And that's, you know, that's his call. So Todd, love what you shared. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Oh, hello?
Yes, is that LaVie?
Yes, it is. It's my morning voice because it's still 6 o'clock in the morning over here in Vegas. But I just wanted to add to the call. I was actually speaking to Ray this morning briefly about something, and I realized that for me, I've actually in the past, not recently, but in the past, I have had that scarcity mentality, living within the means that I set for myself. And in the recent months, I didn't even realize it, but I have not been living like that anymore. I've been living more abundantly. I even look at, for example, with everything going on this weekend, I was supposed to leave on Sunday, and I changed my flight. I changed my reservations to Monday. Then I did it again on Tuesday. Long story short, now I'm not leaving until Thursday. I would have never thought about doing that because, of course, oh, my God, it's money. I probably can't afford it. It's not within my budget. But now, in my mind, I know that the universe will bring this back to me. I deserve it. I work hard for it. So this money will come back to me. I don't believe that there's things that are out of my range anymore. I believe that if I prepare myself for it mentally, if I work for it, I can bring the amount of money that I set for myself or that goal I set for myself, I can bring it within my range and it not be an issue. So you do have to really think like a rich person. Rich people don't count every single solitary dime in and out of their pockets. And, of course, I won't go out and spend thousands of dollars that I know is not in my reach right at this moment. But at the same time, I don't live in fear of. I don't live in fear of poverty. I don't live in fear of being broke. I used to actually, I remember somebody said this to me years ago. I used to always run around and say, oh, I'm so broke. I'm so poor. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not broke. I'm not poor. There's no such thing. So now I've even learned that there is definite power in the words that come out of your mouth. And there's no way you'll ever catch me saying I'm broke because I am very wealthy. I am receiving wealth, and there's more wealth on the way. So just for me, that was my usual aha moment. So that's all I had to add to the call.
LaVie, love it. Kudos to you. Thank you, my friend, for sharing that. I just love hearing what's happening in your life. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, Paul. It's Sandy.
Hey, Sandy. I think Melody beat you by a split second. Let's hear from Melody and then Sandy. Was that Melody?
Catching on to LaVie there. There's a charismatic saying that we say. My needs are met. I'm out of debt. And there's even more in store. Right back to Paul.
Love it. Thank you, Melody. Sandy, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to tell everyone how amazing you all are. I've gotten many messages asking, how did I do on my trip to Vegas? Well, as those of you who know and were there, I did make the trip, and I did fine because of all of you. I could hear your voices in my head. The Atlanta airport was very frightening at first when I got there, but guess what? On the trip back home, I actually maneuvered the Vegas airport by myself and the Atlanta airport by myself, and I'm empowered because of it and because of all of you. And, oh, my goodness, these calls are so amazing. They help each of us in such unique ways that if we glean from it what we need for ourselves, we are empowered. And like Doc Fran says, I am in such a state of bliss. So back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Sandy, and congratulations, my friend. We're all pulling for you, as you know. So thanks for the update. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, this is Elise in Atlanta. I just want to...
Hi, Elise.
How is everyone? Wonderful to see Sandy. I live in Atlanta. All I wanted to tell you was congratulations, girl. You deserve a medal if you really and truly navigated Hartsfield International down here all by yourself and never done it before. Congratulations. That is a huge milestone that me being an Atlanta native have yet to conquer. Congratulations. That's all. Back to you, Paul.
Thanks, Elise. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, guys. It's Doc Fran from beautiful Palm City, Florida.
Buenos dias, mi amigo.
I'm sorry?
I said, buenos dias, mi amigo. Welcome to the call. Go ahead.
Buenos dias, señor. I'm just really loving the discussion this morning. And LaVie, way to go, babe. I mean, what a breakthrough and what a manifestation of a belief in abundance. And it ties in perfectly. I really, really enjoyed Rick Martin's comments this morning. And to just kind of piggyback on them, to, you know, bring into sharp focus the point he was making about the sensation or saying that you're full. And it's really a fine point, but it's really an important point because it is so true. When we say that we're full, that means we're telling the universe, stop, shut off, I can't take any more. And the reality is that if we think of ourselves as a vessel that has a certain capacity and nothing else, then that would be a true statement. And when you reach the capacity of the vessel, then you're done, and there isn't anything beyond that. Now, if we look at the reality that abundance, and the whole concept was started off of a discussion of abundance mindset versus scarcity mindset or lack mindset, and that is where it all begins. It's not a question of what you physically have at any point in time that determines whether you feel in abundance or scarcity. There are many people that are absolutely psychotic about money or having this or whatever, and no matter how much of it they have, it's never enough, and they always feel that they're in lack. And that's a very unhappy place to be. Coming in from a point of lack in any area of your life is extremely disheartening and counterproductive. So the metaphor that I'd like to put in people's minds that might, I think, bring into clarity Rick's point, if we consider life as a river of abundance, and it's abundance in all things. I mean, we all, there's not one of us on this phone that worries about the next time we take a breath in that there's going to be oxygen there to fill our lungs. We take it for granted. But the planet has an abundance of air. Doesn't matter how many billion people are on this planet, how many animals, how many plants, the whole system constantly has an abundance of what is necessary to sustain it. So if we look at ourselves as living in this river of abundance, we can either be a rock, a dam, or a vessel, a cup, into which the river flows. And so if you're a dam, that's one of these people that has a psychotic need to accumulate riches, possessions, whatever it is. When you stop the flow of things, you're a dam. And so, you know, you constantly have to have things inflowing, and typically, you never feel that you have enough. If you look at yourself as this cup, and the old, you know, the age-old metaphor question is your cup half empty or half full? Well, what if it's just constantly in flux? And so when it becomes full, it can simply overflow. And at that point, you really are in the abundance of life. You're really in the flow. You gratefully receive. You gratefully let go. You don't try and hold on. We're nothing but a terminal in point and space and time in which the abundance flows in, through, and from us without impediment. When your cup is full to overflowing, you're literally living exactly the lifestyle that Levy so perfectly articulated this morning. I'm no longer willing to allow myself to limit myself by my thinkingness, by feeling that my cup is either half empty or half full. I'd rather think of my life as being a vessel which is constantly overflowing in abundance. And I can accept all of that abundance and outflow that abundance and bless everyone else's cups around me. Back to you, Paul.
Wow, I love those thoughts. Thank you so much for elaborating, Doc. Makes so much sense. And I think there's a line in the Bible that says something to the effect of, "My cup runneth over." What a great metaphor. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, it's Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
You know, it's really amazing. At the beginning of the call, Paul, you talked about, you know, keeping a journal. And I'm sitting at my desk, and I looked up at all the books I have up here and the journals I've kept of my network marketing businesses. And I had one little journal I put aside. It was a Jim Rohn journal. And he used to do, before he died, every year he would take each month and give a special message. And I used to listen to him, and I used to write him on paper. But the very first one I wrote in a journal, and that's the only entry that I put in that journal. And it was still sitting there. But, you know, this happens so many times when I take notes on calls. I take notes, and they're on papers, and they're all over the place. And you stick them in files. You put them in a basket. But when you keep a journal, you can go back and trace what you've done. This journal entry was dated January the 2nd, 2007. It took almost 5 years now for me to wake up and realize that I need to get back and not just take notes and write them down and keep them all over the place, but to literally keep them in a journal where I keep my progress. Just like I kept notes for the business that I was doing, but I wasn't keeping it for my personal development. And to me, and one thing Jim Rohn always says, you know, you need to work harder on yourself than you do on your business. And it's really funny because as I look at it, I'm working harder on my business than I am on myself. And if I just keep the notes in a journal where I can literally trace the process and look back over those notes, like all these things this morning that we talked about, now I've got to start writing them down in a journal so each day I see my progression as it's unfolding. And if we don't keep that progression and write it down, then we don't know where we've come from or where we're going. And all the things that were shared this morning were so powerful. But if we don't know what we really gained from this call this morning, when we look back 6 months from now, what have we done? What do we know of how much we've really progressed, other than just maybe some of the things that have happening? But we need to be able to look back and see our journey, because that's what life is. Life is a journey. Back to you, Paul.
Awesome thoughts, Bill. Really appreciate that. And, you know, I'm the same way, take notes on pieces of paper and you know, all sorts of different things. And I think that's okay. Like during the call, you know, I'll jot down a bunch of notes, but I think here's what we want to do is go back through and grab the best ones, the ones that really touched us, the ones we want to savor, the ones we want to come back to, and write those down in the journal. Jim Rohn said, be a collector of good ideas, but don't trust your memory. The best collecting place for all of the ideas and information that come your way is a journal. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, I wanted to piggyback off what you were talking about on the keeping a journal and keeping your information. I want to point out what Bill Lynch and pretty much envelopes and honest information he provided. And you have to remember, everyone comes on this line for different reasons. But sometimes we're trying to go to the same destination, but we're taking different roads. You have to have, remember, there's an outcome. You seek an outcome. Have the sense, the acuity, to know whether you're getting closer or further away from the outcome. And be flexible enough to make adjustments, make modifications. You know, John Maxwell, he talked about three things he said that will enhance your continual learning. And why I bring this up, we're talking about keeping information and going back. Reflection. He said, reflection of the information the notes that you take, for example, the experiences you have in life, will turn those experiences into insight. And I mentioned that earlier in the morning. He talks about application. He talks about who needs to know this. When do I use it? You see, really the application is where you get the results. I think Professor William James said, accent and feeling actually go together. And I think Sandy experience of feeling of joy, the glory of overcoming what was once a fear. It's incredible. And these calls, cooperation, is said to be one of the most powerful words in the English language. That no leader can become powerful enough without it. My friend, you know, when you question everything or someone that you trust and believe and they have a little bit more under fruit, under the tree than you do, if you question everything, you're not really being mentored. If you agree only when you do something, only because you agree with it, I'm afraid you're not being mentored. You're not being stretched. This is not saying that you don't go out and question things. That's not what it says. But really and truly, if you came up to someone and they're in a state in life so far ahead of you, you question everything. You're not growing. You don't have faith. You don't have trust. You don't have belief. You listen. I will sit there and listen to Doc Friend simply because he would have more fruit on the tree in an area where I want to improve in my life. I sit there and say, well, he don't know what he's talking about. I sit there and say to Paul in that same thing. He don't know what he's talking about. I don't know anything about that. You see, that friend took what I mentioned earlier on and expand on that information. And I got a better understanding. There was a lady that came on the line. I don't remember what her name, but she said something so beautiful. She used the word full in a spiritual term, and it gave me a little nudge, and it put a smile inside me. And I got to tell you, it's part of living life. And today, like every day, I say, look to this day because it is life. If you live your full day, your best day, with all your effort today, yesterday will be a dream, and tomorrow will be a vision of hope. Today is your best day. Have a wonderful day today, and back to you, Paul.
Beautiful, beautiful thoughts, Rick Martin, and a lot of wisdom there and all throughout this call, my friends. Want to close out from three lines from the chapter we went through today. Nature is an inexhaustible storehouse of riches. The supply will never run short. There is no limit to the supply of formless stuff or original substance. The universe is a great living presence, always moving inherently toward more life and fuller functioning. And the great question, do you believe? Make it a great day, my friends. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Take care. Bye-bye.